Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info. And today is Tuesday, February the 16th, 2010. And this is hour 122 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. He was taken to a luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned with their message. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. Welcome back, everyone.
And we're using Skype today. So if we sound a little different, we're trying this out not using the phone lines, but using the internet. So you can hear me all right, Michael?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, good. And everyone else can hear you. That's good. Well, we can start off with a comment from Jay. This is Jay from BroadcastUrantia.com. Hi, Curtis. I got a question for Michael. The Urantia book talks about the language of Nebadon. Okay, I messed that up again. The language of Nebadon. My question is some of the recordings you speak a different language? And when you were on the New Jerusalem and you stopped that being walking by, he spoke a different language with you. Could you perhaps elaborate a little more about this language you speak and the language of Nebadon? I was wondering if there was any connection between the two. Thanks, Jay.
First of all, just the idea of language is a very important factor because the very language of Nebadon, which emanates from the very creator, Michael of Nebadon, the one whom we know as Jesus Christ, has been described by the Apostle John as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This very compact statement of truth basically says that organization, information, and creativity are embodied in the base communication of language, or the Word. The active Word of Nebadon is filled with more knowledge and more information that can be spoken by me in this broadcast. In this whole hour, it could be spoken in a whisper. Just a gentle whisper would communicate a lot of information. It is filled with not only the auditory. We must remember that. First of all, we are beings that start here on the mortal level, the animal level, and we know that at the animal level we have birds that can talk, and as a matter of fact, that seem to understand us very well and make appropriate statements and comments. So language that we know as human language can be even mimicked by animals of much less intelligence or intellectual power is what we have. So we must presume that if we are going to progress up a higher level of understanding and communication, language in itself would possess higher figures of speech or a higher vocabulary of words, not just a whole bunch of word symbols, auditory symbols, or whether they be written symbols, meaning the same idea, phrase, but actually a lot more. You can embed actual emotions. The greatest emotion, of course, I felt was from Nella Odisewan. She drove fear from me by saying something very simple. Just said, "Michael, don't be afraid." And I was terrified at the time because I was paralyzed. I was lying on a table and I was looking at a being, alien being that had no resemblance to anything I've ever seen before, except basically, having the symmetry of our humanoid form, two eyes, nose, mouth, relatively large head, big eyes actually. And she was able to speak a very active and powerful version in her words. This is something I'll never forget, and I always want to attain, to learn to speak such a powerful language mixed with the power of telepathic influence. In other words, projection of her heart, or projection of our heart. And that can only be done, of course, if we have nothing to hide. And this is something that I noticed that both my wife and I noticed that they find useless our ideas of proper etiquette or composing statements in what we would presume as would be an appropriate way. It doesn't matter. The communication is truth. Communication is pure. Language in itself can't have insidious usage. In other words, lying and mistruths, and these are held in a lower form of language. But as you progress up to the language that is filled with truth and understanding, that doesn't happen anymore. It becomes non-existent. In other words, communication doesn't propagate as well. Now, the idea of words, one of the things that happened was after the resurrection, and actually the more than a resurrection, it was the catching back away, or the Creator Son moving back into its domain of this universe rulership, where he ascended and he took away many of the sleeping souls, and the souls essentially that had just gone, fell asleep, died, and he took them away. But before he left, he said that he needed to leave. As long as he was upon Urantia, the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit, who is in service right now, who draws all men toward truth, and towards seeking fundamental truth, whether it be from the intellectual end or the opposite end of faith and religion, or philosophy in the middle. This personage, this part of the working of the universe, was added to the mix on Earth. And what happened was, at a time of the advent of Pentecost, the believers, or those Christians who had been told to await the coming of a very special being, truly divine and truly powerful and truly real, would come. And indeed he did. And one of the things that had happened was there sit upon every one of these believers as they meditated in basically upon one thing and one mind, and that was to have an open heart and being ready for the Spirit of Truth's arrival, the Holy Spirit, not knowing exactly what would happen. But upon each believer sit flames of what looked or appeared like flames of fire, this Maranja flame of energy made visible to anyone who could see in the normal range of vision could see that, much as I saw the blue lights emanating from the heads of these 12 of our guardians of destiny of Urantia, these destiny guardians for our planet. They indeed are powerful beings emanating that same source and energy, holy energy. Well, along with that, invasion into the believer's heart. In other words, they had made room for the moving in of the Holy Spirit into their consciousness, into their being, and into their lives. And along with that, one of the most basic of all of our higher level functions is our ability to talk and communicate. And that was even given over. And as a result, there was a whole bunch of people coming out there speaking in known languages, languages that were not known to them, but were far, basically a foreign language to them, but was a language of the world, as well as language where celestial languages were spoken. And it was a remarkable thing, because as they went out into the streets after this advent of the Holy Spirit into the world, they began to speak understanding. I mean, what people had heard was how these people were able to propagate or speak a language in the tongue that they understood, and of something that they didn't understand. They didn't understand the idea that the purpose of life, human life, was to ascend and to become like God. Not to become God, but to become like God, or the children of God, truly to grow up and to mature. The mystery of what godliness was about was being revealed to them in their own language, which may have been hidden. And a lot of it happened because of the extra dimension of the telepathic influence that comes by adjuster acquaintance, divinity, or the divine acquaintance, the mutual acquaintance of adjuster attunement between one and another. Sometimes that happens. And so, besides having a language that can be spoken and seems mysterious, the more important thing that comes along with that is the understanding, the knowledge that flows from it. Eventually, which is very short, very quick, and very soon, around the corner, these special attunements, the language that have gone on for thousands of years, since Jesus Christ left the planet, will come to an end, because of the fact that there will be a much more face-to-face, open interface between ourselves and the celestials, the angels themselves. And these angels, of course, you know, if you were to see them and look upon them, they could genuinely look like angels. Spiritual beings with beautiful light emanating from them, wings, indeed. And my daughter, in fact, photographed one recently. She came out and says, Dad, look at these photos. I took them the other day, and up in a coconut tree, in the evening sky, there was a series of photographs. And one of them, my goodness, there was what apparently looks just like an angel. And a light lit up, and wings and everything. And the next photographs, there was nothing. So it was only in one photo, and she took, I think, three or four shots of the sky in fairly rapid progression, maybe a few seconds in between the photos. But in any case, others could actually be material beings, such as Tan and Nella, real material beings. You know, say hello, shake their hands, and touch the fabric of their clothes, which my wife did. She noticed Tan's suit, and she touched his, felt his, the fabric, and it was something very different than she felt before. And it was interesting. Anyway, there's a lot that goes on, but ultimately, the language of Nebadon, getting back to the point, is a language that has a lot of information. Included in that information is the ability to serve telepathic understanding. When I asked questions in the classroom environment, answers not only came in as simple terms as possible, as all I needed, but when I needed more theoretical or a more graphic explanation, sometimes the image that I needed to see in my mind was given to me. One of the events I, or one of the ways that it was when I asked how did I go through the wall, you know, and they showed me how basically we're lockstep in an environment, and because we are lockstep in it, and they gave me a picture of pillars and being in a hall full of pillars all lined up, and I being aligned with the pillars. And because I wanted to walk forward, there was always a pillar in front of me. And how, in my mind, they said, all we do is we shift off to the side. So, in other words, no longer are they walking along, or no longer are we walking along lockstep in this dimension, but just a little shift off. So they kind of painted that in my consciousness. And as a form of a higher level of communication or language. So the language of Nebadon progresses to a point in which images, it's like moving from text to multimedia in your computer. The days of text and having, I don't know how many of you can go back to the green screens and all those old days, and just looking at text, and then moving along and then having text represent graphics. And then pretty soon you'd be able to get image and then motion and then audio and all that multimedia stuff now. That we have fully interactive multimedia now at the internet in which you're participating in this revelation with right now. It's much like that. That's a way of looking at the language of Nebadon. Rather than being able to speak it. Why should I speak and you not understand? When it comes down to speaking and understanding, sometimes people will hear the in your presence, where minds can be attuned one to another, and hear a language that isn't understood. Through the auditory channels, but through the telepathic channels, the understanding comes. So that extra dimension is added. So the gift of that is open to anyone right now on this planet Earth. It's open to anyone who wants to receive that language development, a Morancho level of maturity. And it comes by attaining your circles, starting out from the seventh and progressing into the first. And right around that middle section, fourth or third circle inward, you will be able to attain that language. It'll be given to you along with others. And then becomes the administration or the ministry of these others that will come and literally be functioning and working with you. Even what they call working of miracles, because it's not worked by us, but other celestial entities who function at a certain level of our maturity or progression into the circles, begin to work with us, and will actually ask things like, command me now what you want me to do. Literally saying things like that. And then, of course, you will, you know, pray for a sick, and that sick person will recover. Need a miracle, and the miracle happens. Things like that. Anyway, Curtis, how's the recording going so far?
Yes, it's going well. It looks like it's going well, and it's recording on both tracks. I guess we'll hear from some of the listeners how it sounded. It looks like my voice is a little louder than it should be, and I can't really adjust that. But I can move back further. But we're recording with Skype, and we had a hard time, or I had a hard time getting it working. I had a test run the other day with a friend, and that went well. And then here I am with Michael, and it's not working. And it's like, well, why isn't it working? It's like, what is wrong? So I tried this, and I tried that, and I restarted the computer. I tried a bunch of things. And then sometimes when all else fails, I'll ask Marcy. Hey, what do you think, Marcy? See what she says. And this time she said, well, you didn't have your headphones on before. Well, that shouldn't have anything to do with it, but I unplugged the headphones, and sure enough, that was it. So, there it is. It looks like it's working, Michael.
Okay, great. And that's a good example of, if you were to take things not quite working and trying to progress into your circles of development, one of the sure signs that you're making them is that you attain audible language. Let me speak a little bit. Takshanu rumas na akdani de lebo kore shanchi le kara santu ro ko sa ashara ko tu ro lo bina sinya e ka sara de kre ro ro ko sa shakine le de ko for de ya si. Interpreting for it right now is that when I speak that language, I speak it for you that might believe, that might understand, that might want to progress and move toward that higher level of understanding. It is an outward sign that you're attaining psychic gifts that attune you to the language of Nebadon, to the language that makes up harmonizing the universe. And this is what it's about. Anyway, Curtis, that's little bit of an example of speaking the language. But if you don't understand, if I wasn't here to interpret it, many people wouldn't understand. But the higher frame of it is once you attain it, it gives you a dimension of attunement that begins to cause you to progress even into higher and higher dimensions. This morning I was surprised to receive so much information, and I didn't realize that it would come in such a short burst, but it did indeed come in a short burst of rapid succession. So we'll cover some of that information later.
Okay. Well, we have a question from Paul J.S. about the sun. He says, what is the latest news regarding our sun and all the corona mass ejections?
Well, as far as the corona mass ejections, we had Friday a major flare of about 8.3 magnitude at 11:26 Zulu time. I'm picking this off of my old ham radio propagation website, which I always monitor. And the sunspots are down right now from where they were about 70-something. They are now at 27, dropping back down.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting, and what I found as interesting, was the information that I got of why these starships are about their business right now. Things are being prepared in a mighty way, and this is part, I'm going to include some of the information I just received this morning. These things that are happening with the sun, its activity, are normal, and its timing is variable, but for the most part, it seems that they can hold off. They don't know, they can't predict exactly when this blast will take place, but they can hold it off and are right now sort of like releasing tension or pressure, if you want to use the term pressure, in the sun for explosive CME, coronal mass ejections. It seems as if they're, in a simplistic way, you would see them poking holes in the sun and letting off pressure, but these starships are, in fact, very much active and considered very powerful in their abilities. The old apostle John, again, who not only wrote the first scripture I quoted, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but also wrote down the revelation that is in the back of the Bible, the last book in the Bible. Interestingly enough, in that book is an indication that there are strong angels are characterizes, you know, celestial authorities and powers, or could very well be an entire celestial or starship. And one of the tasks that was assigned to one at a particular time, just prior to the election or the selection of 144,000, that number, was assigned the task of holding back the devastation. Do not hurt the, you know, the trees or you know, life basically on Earth. So in that command is an inkling or a little bit of a hint of what they are doing, is basically holding back until the election process is made. And once that is done, then what seems to be indicated is an evacuation being made. But from what we're doing right now in terms of our sun, it's looking like there is going to be a lot of activity that will be boiling up toward the year 2012, which is the normal peak for the sunspot cycle, or the sun's stormy cycle, when each sunspot is a solar storm on the surface, much like a hurricane or on Earth, you know. But a CME comes in from a much deeper level, the boiling out of an ejection of actual sun and its particles, mass of what makes up the sun being ejected out. And that is something that is what I think is being prevented right now.
Well, we're seeing... I was just going to say, we're seeing these huge bursts of these mass ejections, and I'm just... It just looks like if this ejection was heading toward Earth, it would singe us tremendously. But maybe going in the other direction.
Yeah, well, right now, the levels of these ejections, first of all, the ejections that are happening are missing us. Next is the fact that the ejections are at, although major level, they're still not at the X level, the extra gigantic level. Off the charts level. So this is the one that we're really worried about. And right now they are doing two things. Our celestial friends, they're working actively with the sun in holding an ejection back, and are working actively with our planet in shielding us. But there come a time soon where there will not be the ability to completely shield us from what could be very, very devastating. Even if we were to shut down just our modern civilization, our channels of communication, transport, the cities would become non-functional, become chaotic, and we're headed. And I think there's a lot more people in our governments around the world who are well aware of the potential and are making some radical decisions on how to handle an affair if it were to come up, to a point where there could be pandemonium.
And the public knows nothing. They just go about their day without even knowing this.
Well, yes, they have to. They're even working on anti-hoarding and taking away people's ability to protect themselves and everything else. Anyway, in any case, if NASA is able to convince the powers that be to fund them to put up our observational satellites, all to do with space and solar weather, because of the threat that is out there, it is important thing to think about. The other case, not only if the weather becomes, space weather becomes really bad, but what happens if it, hits us with a level of impact that may not destroy the planet, but ultimately will change it. And this comes down to what I was looking into. I was looking into it and receiving a lot of information. Celestials began to explain to me the tension that is happening between ourselves and other entities that are out there, other celestial objects, whether we call them Planet X or whatever you want to call them. They are affecting the entire solar system and the sun, and will and are going to be causing more and more climate change, earth changes, and active changes in our observation of our own universe from our perspective. There is right now a little bit of a perturbation in our rotation around our North Star, and Polaris hangs right over the North Pole, but we are making a wobbly kind of a motion right now. That means that our planet is being perturbed by some other force. The idea of gravitational lines of energy and lines of force was explained to me when I asked the question about gravity. They gave me two, what they consider as gravity, one that is expansive, from the very tiniest quantum bit or vibration expanding out into the, you know, our entire universe, expanding, creating a gravity, and one in which goes and draws back to first source. I asked them about what makes the planets orbit or create this planar disk form. And they said that they don't consider that as gravity. They said, think more in the lines of static electricity. It isn't static electricity, but it is a good, static electricity, they said, was a good idea, to, since I had been familiar with it, to understand these tremendous lines of force that always end up seeming to create orbits around particles, whether it be very small at the atomic level or extremely large at the at our galactic level. Yeah. And they interact. These forces interact much like static force, static electricity. And that's what's happening right now. So interestingly enough, I was shown some very clear observations in that some fault lines are going to start to be moving, not in an earthquake manner, but at a point in which it will start to create breaks in it, a new fountaining of waters or artesian springs start to break up. Liquefaction here and there, where water on the surface was only a very ancient or dried up indication that there may have been water a long time ago. These will begin to start to break up shortly. And another thing that was shown was much more wonderful, was that at the end of the cycle that we're going to have was a extremely large group of young star children coming into planet Earth. The generation that shall follow the generation after the change, and in the, that will be coming onto planet Earth, will be more highly evolved, not in the sense of our genetic, but more highly evolved in a spiritual sense, and more highly illuminated in truth sense. They won't know war. They won't know those kinds of bad things that we are surrounded in right now. And that was the termination of the message I had this morning. So they're sort of wrapped around together. And it's interesting that they tend to be feeding this to me on Tuesdays. So, anyways, I share that with you right now.
You said star children are coming to Earth?
Yeah, they will be coming to Earth. These children are not here right now. They'll be made up of not a particular race, but actually really well mixed into our society. They've be almost as if they're all coming at once, and they'll be born into a world, okay, via natural means. But because of the fact that they are going to be born into a new age of light and illumination, as I said, they won't know the kinds of shortcomings of our society that we have built for ourselves that is right now going to undergo tremendous change and cleaning up right now.
And you said they'll be born here?
Yes. They'll be born here. In other words, the earth will not be destroyed after this.
Tell us more, Michael.
Okay, first of all, just simply to allow our planet to continue on its way right now would be foolish. The harvest will happen. There will be, and is happening right now, large groups of souls being literally, you know, suddenly removed through natural calamity and disaster. Yes, this will happen. It will happen in larger amounts. But that doesn't mean humanity will perish. Actually, at the end of this cycle, which is very short, only a few years, will these new children be coming in to the world and will be filling this world with vibrance and life and joy and happiness, close to being like heaven on earth, the concept heaven on earth, because of the fact that our celestial friends will have themselves as well as teams of enlightened individuals servicing our world with tremendous amount of truth and even technology that will supplant or, you know, displace older technologies.
So you're saying when these children grow up, they'll be extremely special?
Oh, yeah. Well, they will be offered a world without fault or flaw.
And they're referring to this world without flaw?
Yeah. It will go through, because of their being coming into the world, the propagation of the development of light, the influence of pure truth into the world, will be much easier to be made. As long as we have the mores and ideals of ancient past and religious connotations and cultural bigotries that were retained in the fabric of society with too much influence over the little ones. The breaking of the cycle is difficult. But after this chance of the breaking of the cycles of the structures of the old, will be allowing for the bringing in of these young ones who will be highly attuned, yes, highly attuned to the ways of righteousness.
And what kind of numbers are these children going to, are we going to have a lot of these children, or thousands, or just few?
They'll come in groups of what I saw was groups of classroom size, 20, 30 at a time, and all over, and be well mixed in the fabric of our racial fabric as well as cultural fabric. The cultural fabric of our world would have been basically torn up. We'll go through that tearing up process where what is good will be kept and what is history would be left as history and not turned or not insisted upon, simply because the awareness of our celestial position in the universe of Nebadon will have been revealed. In other words, we are not the leaders of a world that we really do not possess. We are only loaned this world for our development. Ultimately, it has been prepared for the ascension of all souls who seek to attain divinity, in other words, everlasting life, through the offering that has been made via the channels that were constructed by the Creator Son, actually Jesus Christ himself.
Wow, that's quite an amazing story.
Well, it's. I mean, when you listen to someone like Benjamin Fulford, he's got parts of the message there in place. Much of what we need to do is already in our hands, but what holds us back are the feuds that are going around in our world. You know, they're so big we call them. They're not feuding anymore. You know, but basically, if you were to shrink it down, the numbers it'll look like, you know, a feud.
Yeah, they're warring.
Forget about the past. Such a wonderful future ahead of us.
And these children that are coming here, these are going to be born here from the coming out of our human women.
Yes. Yes.
And will they, will it be like a big surprise? In other words, are they going to look like the parents?
There would be normal-looking children.
Normal-looking children. And this is going to occur within the next so many years? I mean, within all of our lifetimes?
Probably. I was given a vision of them and their radiance and their age at the time I looked at them. They were about 4 years, 5 years old. Gupta. So this is only a picture, picture word, or a hint of what is to come. So although we are being made aware of tough times ahead, and we're right now going through some of the economic tough times, but we see some of the natural stuff. Earthquakes like in Haiti, but there's even more problems ahead. But ultimately is the bringing forth of that generation of the children of light. They'll fill the planet, our planet, Urantia.
Well, this these star children, this is quite a revelation.
Well, that's the original plan.
Oh, yes?
That's the original plan, yes. But what happened was there was a whole idea that you could keep these children in the dark and cause them to grow up in service to a higher being. It was not God. It goes back to the blame the devil. I don't want to give him too much space in this talk because he doesn't deserve any mention at all. But really, when it comes right down to it, messed it up. It's going to get fixed up. And our free will choice is always there to choose light versus darkness. And there are people who will choose darkness because they love the darkness. But I prefer not to have darkness.
Yes, wow. So what kind of people are these children going to grow up being? Are they going to be creating our new physics, new science for us?
First of all, they will maintain their childlikeness through their life. They won't lose it. You know, like how people, you know, are delighted with children because they're innocent?
Yes.
They'll stay that way. Because the binding of innocence, or the binding of innocence, or the loss of innocence, is because of the operation of darkness in their lives, or even the observation of darkness, like, you know, like the terrible things of that bring about man's inhumanity to man. These wildness that was an experiment in order to induce or force humanity to develop one way quickly is coming to an end right now, and that will not be there anymore because what I experience of being with these celestial beings, not of the fallen nature, the celestial beings of the New Jerusalem, are that I guess you might say society, that culture, that surrounding will be in the planet, on the planet, our planet right now, which it isn't right now. The powers that be are trying very hard to make aliens look like invaders and evil and ugly, and trying to take away our freedom and make us slaves and doing every sort of horrible things to us. But in reality, it's not it at all. It's the exact opposite of that. And indeed, there are some who retain their ideals of trying to steal away what we have above them. And that is something that they cannot attain apart from being freely gifted that from the Creator Son. That is one of the most important things, is the attunement to the divine fractal, our thought adjuster, who emanates, who comes from the place of the divine. Nirancha book calls that place Divinigden, or the divine place. These other ones are trying to find out, we're trying to snatch away that which we already possess, or try to hide that which we already possess. And sometimes they're doing a good job at it. They throw in front of us grand towers and big cities, lots of money, this and that, fame, fortune, and all the other stuff, to blind us from the real gift that we have all been given, and the ability to attune to it, to become one, or the ultimately become glorified or fused with God and become a divine being.
And are these star children going to help us pave the way for us to all be there as
well,
a divine being?
Actually, build the planet in its proper form, and what I guess the religions of the world called sin and ungodliness and all of this stuff will be put away, and in its place will be the more pure truth directives that will be coming through these young ones. And they will not be the same as our. They will develop a lot better health ability, and the world itself will be geared toward a fully sharing of resources, and because of that, the population of the world as it is right now will actually be able to grow even much more dense than it is right now.
And this angel that your daughter took a photograph of up in the coconut tree, does this have a connection with these star children?
Well, that is one of the primary connections, because each star child shall have one already. We attain one sometimes, our personal sense, as we are driven, are personally making choices to attune ourselves to the divinity within ourselves, the thought adjuster. And as we make choices and we work really hard in just shedding our base human vanity and stuff to become closer to God, becomes a point in which one angel is assigned to us. These children will come en masse with not only group guardians, but many more personal ones right from the start.
What do you mean right from the start?
It will be an age of the teachers. And the teachers themselves will find themselves involved very much in the lives of these ones. So they will be given as much continuous truth, not being taught from some other human being, but being taught by celestial teachers themselves.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I can tell you right now, the effect of that is very powerful, because as I said before, I've sat in a class and was taught by the highest form of teacher called Dano, one of the high forms of teachers, and they are a growing number. So these teachers will descend with the full after the lifting of the quarantine, they will come in and be assigned to the groups of these new children.
Wow, that's quite a message you just received this morning.
Well, it's not the message. In other words, it's not a message of the devastation of our planet, but rather the transition of our planet from being, you might say, in darkness or in a twilight zone to one of being in the light.
Well, that in itself is beautiful. And it sounds like we have a lot to look forward to.
We do. And we have... they have powers that be that want to hold back the process. For some reason, they don't see it as something they want. And I don't know why, but...
Oh, they don't want to lose control.
You think that's it?
Yeah, they...
I don't know. It's stupid, actually, you know. But they just haven't... One of the things is that just haven't been with the Celestials that I have been with and known the depth of the purity of their society and their love. To be part of a fallen world, I guess. Build your own kingdom. I guess you don't want to lose it, you know.
Well, thank you, Michael. We've exhausted another hour, and it's, this one was again more than interesting. Star children are coming to Earth. That's a real revelation. So we'll. I hope we have some questions for you tomorrow, or next Tuesday for this on this subject of the star children. I'm sure people will have some comments. And it was again magnificent. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And aloha.
Aloha. Bye.